Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, welcome to our second hour here on Circles of Change. A Merry Christmas week to everyone. Thanks for taking out time to join us. We're going to stay right in this space of helping others. It's apropos for not just our show in general, but certainly the season. I'd like to welcome Annika Lola on the line. Good morning, Annika. How are you today?
Oh, good morning, Zara. I'm wonderful. How are you?
Terrific. Well, Annika is based in Canada, so we've gone from West Coast, East Coast, to now up to the North. She's an organization development consultant and a practitioner in change. Several years ago, and out of necessity, she realized she needed to move from being an independent consultant, doing the work she loved with great clients, to enable change as an inside member of an organization. So hers is a story of needing to put into practice that which she knew about change and how she had guided others through it, a journey that has given her then an even deeper respect for the experience of her clients, plus, I think, a completely new understanding of change and the effective ways to approach it. Today, Annika has worked at the local, provincial, and national levels, predominantly in the healthcare area. Backed by a master's in sociology of work and organizations and also undergraduate work with a focus on group dynamics and social interaction, Annika continues to search out and study with people those hidden gems in our world who are in the business of practicing what they preach. And as she likes to say, I appreciate those who have challenged me along the way, as today I stand on the shoulders of giants. And indeed, she partners then with individuals, frontline teams, executives, and their teams to assist them in charting their own course in those change efforts. So, Annika, I love the title you selected, From the Outside to the Inside to the Outside of Change. I love that.
Oh, well, thank you, Zara. Yeah, I thought quite a bit about this, and I guess the way I've looked at my experience is that, you know, I've really focused externally in terms of supporting clients and change. And then it wasn't until my own personal experience that I actually decided to make a change for myself that I really deeply began to understand change in a totally different way and grew a very strong respect for the change work that we were doing, both with individuals and with teams and organizations.
Well, you know, I think this is the first time, at least based on your and my knowing each other relatively short amount of time, that you've sort of wanted to come public and have this whole conversation. Why are you choosing to do it now, do you think?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for asking that. You know, it's actually, it's because it scares me. You know,
yeah.
I feel a sense of fear, a sense of vulnerability. Sharing about personal change, you know, we tend to talk about change in terms of from an intellectual perspective and models and whatnot. And, you know, coming from it from a personal way and sharing with you, you know, how I really did change my whole life in the last 4 years. I just really believe that walking into our fear is actually a strong enabler of change. And I believe in modeling that which I do in the world. And so because this scared me, I wanted to be able to do it. And so I really appreciate this space and you inviting me here to do that with you.
Well, you know, your timing couldn't be better because obviously for all of us, we're wrapping up 2013 and starting to either survive through the holidays or start to envision for 2014. And, you know, life is about many times dealing with contradictions, right? I say I want this, but oh boy, this is now going to show up that I need to deal with. So that intentionality is so important.
And isn't that true? And I have to be honest with you, that was a real pinnacle noticing for me, which actually enabled the beginning of my own personal change. That exact thing, here I was saying one thing, especially externally to my clients, and yet all of a sudden when I looked internal to my own life, was I really living everything that I was saying? So that contradiction really came up for me.
So was it that standing you or having to acknowledge the fact you had those contradictions going on that prompted you then to start flipping the dominoes?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, basically I woke up one morning and just could not face myself in the mirror. Just felt really like a fraud and like a hypocrite. You know, I was supporting and enabling other people's potential and possibility in the workplace and in their work experiences and also quite, you know, in their personal lives. And here I was quite unhealthy, quite unhappy. and significantly not satisfied with my life.
Yeah, and for those of us that make it the business of helping others, there are times when that suddenly you say, wait a minute, who is this person here? Particularly if you've maybe approached using techniques and approaches that, you know, put you in some sort of a rut and you need to really shake yourself out of that.
Yeah, you know, from the outside, Zara, I have to tell you, like, it looked perfect, right? Here I was. I was really early on in my career. I had the courageous opportunity to step out on my own. I was working with the most extraordinary clients, doing the work I had dreamed of doing. You know, I was in a happy, a loving relationship. I had it all. That's what it looked like from the outside.
Well, you know what? This session, why we've approached it, is your opportunity to talk. I know all too well where you are, because back in 2002, I felt the same thing starting to come at me. And so the approach that I took, and I think you're going to share with us yours too, is that to recognize that there are some pretty strong processes and other people out there that have been this journey before, and they've got a great way to coach you and guide you through it, because you did pursue and work with someone, didn't you?
I certainly did. Yeah, I really had tried. You know, I had read every single book. I had prayed. I had tried a million different individual type of methodologies in terms of initiating change inside of my life, and nothing had worked. And it wasn't until I called Wayne Diott from Acrobatics Canada that I really began to appreciate and understand the interconnection between the biological, physiological, emotional, philosophical, and spiritual aspects of our life.
And boy, those five quadrants, many times people, I'm certain we've got listeners here that are coping with a job change or a family loss, and they might go for one or two of these, but, you know, not until you get the opportunity, I think, to step back and look at the interconnectivity to all of them, are you talking about then really sustaining yourself through these shifts?
Yeah, and I think from my perspective, it was really that it's not that I didn't realize that all of these individually were important, but I think what I started to recognize that they were completely siloed inside of me, right? So that I had sort of compartmentalized these different areas and drew on them when necessary. Yeah. And the coping mechanism, habits, I was into at the time, really pleading myself in various of these silos so that I could focus on the external success of my clients, or the external success of my partner at the time, or this external success of my friends or my family. And I was willing to deplete my internal resources to support those that were external to me. And so when Wayne Diott from Acrobatics Canada, when he asked me, the first question out of his mouth is, what is the dream of your life? I had no answer.
Oh yeah, that's a scary one, isn't it?
It was so scary. And the only thing I could come up with, you know, as tears are rolling down my face, is I just want to be happy.
Right. And thus we have a burgeoning industry called the happiness industry right now.
Right.
Because this is a common tape that we hear. But, you know, I think the one word that I'm appreciating for your story, Annika, that you shared with me in advance of our conversation, is this word congruency. I mean, it's one thing to have and recognize the silos and try to work across things that are good for me, both biologically and physiologically, the emotional, the spiritual side, the breaks from someone. But that anything that I do, though, is still in line with that which I'm meant to be.
Yeah, that word congruency became such a focus for me. You know, I had the real fortune opportunity, as I said, you know, in your introduction to me, I always say I stand on the shoulders of giants, and I do mean giants. Mind you, one of the giants that came into my life was about 5 feet tall and about 100 pounds.
That's right. Okay, good.
I was really fortunate to study with a woman by the name of Maria Gomori, and she's the oldest best friend of the eminent Virginia Satir. And here was this, at the time, she was 90 years old.
Wow.
And she stood in front of us as this very petite, lovely woman. And I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to stand in the midst of greatness, but you can feel it.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And she was so congruent with who she was. Every word, every action was completely aligned with her intention. And it was so powerful. And I thought, and I sat there, and I knew that I was not there yet, but I knew that that's what I wanted to be.
And so the journey to find that congruency, the kind of things that Maria shared, give us some examples of that.
Yeah, I think it was a real challenge for me. What I needed to do is, first of all, I guess I needed to give up the idea that my vision of my life had to be fully fleshed out.
That's true, yep.
You know, I had to sort of give up this idea of, like, the perfect picture. I didn't know what the picture was. I knew what the feelings were that I wanted to feel.
Oh my God.
I knew I wanted to be happy. I knew I wanted to be joyful. I knew I wanted to feel a sense of freedom. And so the effort and the energy it took through my macrobiotic journey was really looking at all the habits, or what another word for that would be coping mechanisms, things, behaviors that I had established along the way that had gotten me to where I was today. And I had to actually look at those and be grateful for them, because they had gotten me through 2 degrees. They had enabled me to launch my own business. They had done a lot of great things for me, and yet they were no longer serving me in the direction I was headed now.
Yeah.
So I had to really look at those habits, be willing and courageous to face them, to dismantle them, and to rebuild new. And, you know, I was listening earlier to Mark Samuel talk around competing intentions.
Yeah.
And I really, that was such a powerful statement when I was listening to him earlier on your show today, because that's exactly what I was experiencing. Here I was with these habits or behaviors that actually had given me some success, and yet I still needed to look at them to revise them. So how could I, you know, still be a social, loving person, but yet I had to change the way I ate, and I needed to, you know, I needed to quit smoking, and I needed to all these things.
Sure,
where
exactly.
I created a world of social life around that, and here I had to, like, really look at that and say, well, which intention am I going to give the time and energy to?
Right, and then also what you're going to let go to in the process. Well, we're speaking with Annika Lola, and she's based out of Canada. She's an organizational development consultant that was an inside consultant and then opted to run her own business for a period of time, and now she finds herself, again, back inside an organization, kind of working still as an outsider, though, right? You work across a variety of teams and different venues. So how do you think, then, this journey of your own personal quest for change, I mean, a 4-year ride that I'm certain is still going to be multiple years of continued learning. How has that affected, then, your approach from an organizational consultant standpoint, Annika?
You know, I think that I was quite before. You know, I had all knowledge, and I'd had some extraordinary experiences before I'd gone through my own personal transformation. But it isn't until you've gone and really deeply, and I actually captured a lot of my transformation over the last 4 years in journals and emails and writing, really because what I wanted to do is to better understand what my clients are going through when we talk about right. change. And so being able to bring back into the workplace my experience, and what I would say now is my knowing about change. So before, it was a very intellectual approach. Here I am, I have all sorts of information at the intellectual level that I'm able to impart and to support my clients in understanding. Now I really come from that much more whole approach, really looking at how is all the interconnections between the individual, the team, leadership, the organization. You know, I am really in deep understanding and appreciation of the complexity of the system for which we are asking to change.
Mm-hmm, right.
And I will tell you this, Zara, in a very short period of time, I've had much more feedback about how effective my approach is, how sustainable the approach has become. And I am astounded, and I fundamentally believe that it is because that there's no longer any silos inside of me.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It absolutely is profoundly important. And in fact, as our listeners who might be considering engaging a consultant to help their team, or even an executive coach or a management coach or a career transition coach, that's probably the single most important attribute that often gets overlooked, is to make absolutely certain that that person you're going to engage, or that team that you might be hiring, has that knowing of themselves.
You know, absolutely. You know, who am I? But if I may be so bold to suggest that I have noticed from my, you know, one point perspective that the world of consultancy is changing. And even when my old clients or new clients are asking me, who should we engage with? What kind of consultant should I be looking for? Some of the key pieces that I say to look for. And these are not soft skills. These are absolutely actually about congruency, right? Mm-hmm. It's a level of sincerity that their heart is in it for you, that they have a sense of generosity, that they have your best interest in mind, and the key piece is that they have the capacity to give. And then, of course, it's the clarity that they can see beyond what you see, that they see your big dream, your future state, and they hold it for you. And that they have, again, that congruence or integration, that they literally practice what it is that they preach.
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, we said in the introduction, the challenge we often encounter, though, that requires our clients, because I absolutely 100% espouse where you are, is that I don't know about you, but I've oftentimes been held back a bit by certain clients that say, I think you're getting too close to us. So it's a double edge, isn't it, at times? Because you still know you've got that much you want to give in sincerity and stand with them. But to maintain your objectivity, or at least let them feel like you're working on that, that continues to be a challenge, though. That's that whole outsider-insider thing.
Isn't it, though? You know, this real, and you know, it makes me think that this real understanding of that outside-inside and meeting people exactly where they're at the same time is all a fine balance, right? And I think to be able to build that internal gauge, that internal, to be, and not be attached, you know, it's that real flexibility that I've been developing over the years and I continue to develop, is to ebb and flow along with my clients. While I hold them in to the future state, does not mean that I push or pull them into that state.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
That's really hard if you're a taskmaster. If you're used to being a program manager to get results and get measures, and I think that also comes back to a lot of the challenges we face inside organizations aren't necessarily the measurable things, other than a qualitative feel-good type thing that kind of get us stuck or rigored in that competing intentions and that fear side.
Well, and if I may, you know, just in my, you know, as I kind of think this through a little bit, if I may, I think possibly if we get attached to that task sort of side of us, that's still, again, that real intellectual side, and we need to remind ourselves in our everyday and in every moment that this requires a much more whole approach.
Yeah, right.
You know, and I really appreciate this that it is an everyday commitment and everyday practice, right, to aligning ourselves and our actions to our intention and to the intention of our clients.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And even for those who are working inside of organizations, to make sure we have that same connection with our peers, subordinates, and those more senior, so that we can, you know, do that in a particular way. I love some of your, you know, standing on the shoulders of giants, this idea of everyday practice. I mean, that's what it is. It's kind of reinforcing those muscles, because, you know, you've got to replace your old habits with stronger, you know, stronger new ones, right?
Well, you know, that's a really interesting metaphor. I often talk about building the muscle, right? So I can give you a bit of an example. Back in my previous life, I talked a lot about health and exercise, and yet in my everyday, I did not do any of that. So one of my commitments in terms of my own personal change was to bring in exercise into my life. And I'm telling you, I talked about it way more than I ever did it. I don't know if anybody else out there has had that experience.
Probably.
And one of the pieces, and I, you know, use this as a metaphor for many different things in terms of creating a new habit, was that I had to keep my eye on the goal, was to build exercise into my life. I had to really look at that, what that meant. Was it really about my physical body? It was, and it was about many other things. I really had to look at how I was nourishing my whole life, not just, you know, the food that I was putting in, but how was I creating nourishment to all aspects of my life, and exercise was a form of nourishment.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Yeah, that's
and
right.
So what I did was I started to say, even if I don't walk today, I will still commit to walking in my mind. And every day I would get up and I would say, oh, I'd have a million excuses why not to go for a walk. And then day by day, that got easier and easier to get outside, to get up and get out. And all of a sudden, I had the time to walk every day. And what I learned from that was that sometimes we just have to be realistic and practical that we can't always meet our own goals, but that doesn't mean that we can't every day commit to it. and every day practice it, even if it just is in our mind. And that's what enabled and manifested in my life. I walk every single day. If I don't walk, I do something, you know? And I really believe that it's just in our belief and our trust that we will actually learn to align our actions to our intentions.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We're speaking with Annika Lola, and she's based in Canada. She's an organizational development consultant and a practitioner of change, and she's been sharing her story with us about how she now can mirror in a much stronger way to help her clients through their complex, complicated, and respectful change journeys, having done it herself. So what do you think your clients would say, Annika, that worked with you before vis-a-vis how they work with you now? Where do they see the major differences in you?
For me, it's all about sustainability,
right?
So the challenge for me in my work prior to this was those intellectual models and frameworks were wonderful, and they did work to some extent, but yet the sustainability of them. So it's now really looking and you know, I'm really learning from the work of Mark Samuel, really learning about how to support teams in creating new habits and then watching them change their own habits. You know, I just recently had an experience of going back to a team about 3 months after our initial work together and seeing how they have committed to everyday practice and their habits are changing. And you know what was fascinating about that is I'm not sure they even saw how much they changed.
Right.
You know, so I would say that it is the sustainability of the work I do now that has been the most significant change in my practice.
Which, of course, is, I think, taking us back to even your title of your segment here, A Student of Change, from the inside to the inside to the outside of change, is that's also a recognition of your kind of watching yourself in this play that you're living in.
Oh, certainly. I learn every day about myself and my practice so that I can be of much greater service to my clients. Ultimately, what I learned was what felt initially like a very selfish thing to do was to focus on me became a deeper understanding of the most selfless act I could have done, because ultimately, if I'm here to be of service, I need to be of service to myself first.
Yes, and that is something that is an awkward approach to things. But it's for any of us that are the stewards of organizations, whether that be in the work world, in the not-for-profit, or in our own families and our friends, that we have to take care of the oxygen that feeds our bodies first. Annika, what are you looking forward to doing now in 2014?
Oh, well, you know, I feel very, very grateful for this opportunity. I've been really exploring and thinking about how do I start to communicate a little bit more about my own personal journey and how it impacts us as change practitioners. So looking at the inside of ourselves first as we are of service to our clients. And you know, I'm not sure what's to come, but I do feel that really big things are coming. I feel like I'm drawing in wonderful people to partner with. And I'm really just, I just feel a real deep sense of excitement for 2014.
Yeah. And that's an absolutely terrific place to be. Well, Annika, thank you so much for joining us today. I wish you all the best. Of course, you and I both are devotees of the precepts of personal accountability and organizational accountability. But I think you've really positioned nicely this idea for each of us as individuals, regardless of what age or stage we are in our careers, in our life journey, that this idea of looking at the different components that make ourselves up, you know, that total health and wellness piece of it, is quintessential. And that's actually the foundation by which you can stand then and move other things.
Absolutely, Sarah. Absolutely.
Very good. Well, Annika, thanks so much. Have a Merry Christmas this week, and we'll look forward to collaborating in 2014.
Wonderful talking with you. Thanks, Sarah.
You bet. My pleasure.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580.